I wanted to revisit a story I told, I guess, two Wednesdays ago about my friend Jonathan who came to Christ. I met with him last Friday, and we were talking, and I said, "Hey, I just want you to know that I haven't heard a single curse word come out of your mouth in this meeting." And he was very in the world and had a very vulgar way of speaking before. And he says, "Yeah, man, Jesus done. He changed my life just like that." And then he starts telling me all these things that he was trying to work on. He said, "For the past 8 months, I've been trying to change this in my life. I've been trying to change this in my life. I've been trying to change this in my life. And I could not do it. I just couldn't do it." And he says, "But since I've been saved, Jesus has been helping me with all of those things that I couldn't do on my own. Everything that I was struggling with doing," he says, "I'm still not perfect." He says, "But God is helping me through all of those things." And he's like, "I can't believe I didn't realize it sooner. I can't believe I didn't recognize that I couldn't do it by myself." He says, "But now that I have this relationship with Christ, I don't need to do those old things anymore. He's helping me through the hard stuff, and he's there with me through the easy stuff." And I said, "That's right, man. That's exactly what a relationship with Jesus Christ can do." You see, the story of Jonathan before that was the story of many of us before Christ, living in the world, doing whatever it is we wanted, living for ourselves and not for the Most High God, doing whatever felt good, doing whatever looked good, doing whatever made us happy. But our stories change when Christ interjects. Our stories change. We come from death to life, and our story changes, and our story is not just our story anymore. It's our testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for us and through us. Tonight we're going to look at a story, testimony of a man who was changed by Christ, and then what his story did for so many people. And it's an awesome story. So if you have your Bibles, join me in Acts chapter 3. And we're going to do a little bit of reading tonight. We're going to read through the whole chapter 3 and a little bit into chapter 4, and we're going to break this down. So Acts chapter 3 says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 p.m. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Verse 4 says, Peter along with John looked straight at him and said, 'Look at us.' So he turned to look at them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, 'I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk.' Verse 7, then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk. And as he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that it was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened." Verse 11 says, "While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran toward them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, 'Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released to you. Verse 15, you killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you." Verse 17 says, "And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders did also. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Heaven must receive him until the time of restoration of all things, which God spoke about through the holy prophets from the beginning." Verse 22 says, "Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. You must listen to everything he tells you. And everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people. In addition, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those after him also have also foretold these days. Verse 25, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors, saying to Abraham, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through your offspring. Verse 26, God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, while they were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them because they were annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them and took them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. Verse 4, but many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we pray that your Spirit be upon this place this evening. Lord, may the reading of your word be blessed to you. God, may it be a blessing to us. Lord, may we take away from this what you would give to us to learn. Lord, may your Spirit just reign in this place tonight and open our eyes to the truths that you would have for us. Father, we love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You see, in verses 1 through 8 of chapter 3, there was a story of this man. And his story, his whole life, is that he was a lame man. He couldn't walk. His whole life, lame, could not walk. And what his friends and family would do every day, they would take him to this gate in this temple so he could lay and beg for money. This is how he made his living. This is what he was to do. He couldn't work. So they carried him in, and this was the story that he had for years of his life. That he was crippled and lame and couldn't walk, relying on the charity of everybody else to help him through. Until one day, two men by the name of Peter and John walk into this temple. And he asks them, what he asks everybody, excuse me, sirs, do you have any money? Excuse me, sirs, do you have anything extra? And Peter and John look at him and says, they looked straight at him and they told him to look at him. He said, look at us in verse 4. So he turned to them expecting to get something, but Peter said, I don't have gold or silver, but what I do have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And verse 7 says, then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up at once, and his feet and ankles became strong. All of his life, he was lame, could not walk, couldn't do anything for himself, really. All of his life. And then in a moment, God changed it. In a moment, Jesus Christ changed the outcome of his story. It says in verse 8, so he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Do you remember when God fixed that problem in your life? Do you remember the story that you had before Christ and it took Christ to fix it? Do you remember that day, the day of your salvation, when you finally said, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Lord, the things that I've been asking of people is not filling my cup. Lord, I can't do it on my own. And then whoever shared that gospel with you, took you by the hand and shared Christ, and you became a new creation. This man here in verse 8, he was so excited for the first time in his life, he's able to walk. Not just walk, but jump. And he leapt. And he praised God through it. And his story was defeat until Jesus came on scene and changed it just like that. And you see, what happens when God changes your life tends to draw a crowd. People start asking questions. People start wondering, what's happened? What's different about them? Why do they look like that? Why do they talk like that? Why are they acting like that now? I told many of you this story maybe a while ago. To be honest with you, I don't know when I told you this, but I know I told you it. But when I got saved, I went on my bachelor party with my brothers. And we were talking, and of course, I had to share Christ with them. I wasn't going to be alone in a car for 3 hours down to Bloomington without preaching the gospel to them, you know. And so we're laying in my old house down in Bloomington at the time, and me and my little brother are talking. And we're talking, and I said, Mike, it's not like you can't see that Jesus has changed me. And he said, Phil, it's like I don't even know you anymore. What a testimony. See, because the life that I lived before that, he knew that, Phil. He knew what I was about. He knew what I was doing. He knew what I wanted to do. But when Jesus intervened in my life, he said, Phil, it's like I don't even know you anymore. Praise be to God for that. Because I didn't want the old life. I needed a change in my story, and Jesus brought that change. And in verse 9 and 10, it says, all the people saw him and walked praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to them. When God intervenes and changes you, you ought to be hard to recognize. They said, wasn't this the guy? Surely, that's not the guy. That's not the same guy who has been here week after week after week, year after year after year, that's been laying at this gate. Surely that's not the same guy. There's no way it could be. But it was. And it's all because of Christ. It's all because of the power of Jesus that it was. And as this crowd starts to form, in verse 11 through 12, they ran up to Peter and John, and they were astonished at what had happened. They couldn't believe it. And they were looking at Peter and John as if they were the ones who did it. Like, oh man, these guys have something new. These guys have something that is worthwhile. I'm seeing what has happened to this guy. What do they have that I don't? How is it possible that they can speak this, tell this man to do this, and he's up and walking? What is different? How could that be possible? And Peter says maybe one of the smartest things that Peter's ever said. He says, in verse 12, when Peter saw this, he addressed the people, fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we made him walk by our power or our godliness? Peter says, no. You got it all wrong. If you're thinking that me and John here did anything, you're mistaken. All we did was share the power of Christ with this man. All we were was the vessel for God to do his work in this man. He says, no, you got it all wrong. He says in verse 13, he tells them who did it. He said, the power, it's not me, it's not John. Here's who did it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of our ancestors, who has glorified his servant Jesus, who has glorified our servant Jesus. He says, it is all because of God the Father. It is all because of Jesus Christ that this can happen. And so then he begins to turn his focus off of this thing that's happened, this awesome story, this awesome miracle that happened, and he begins to shift his focus to this crowd. And he gets real serious here for a second. Verses 13 through 16, it says, he tells the amazed crowd exactly who healed the man, but it wasn't before he told him this same person who healed this man is the exact same person who you rejected. The exact same person who you traded for a murderer that day. Though Pilate was the one who did it, you guys all rejected Christ. You guys are the ones who sentenced him to death. You are the ones who did it. The same God that gave this man the power to walk, you, Israelites, you are the ones who rejected this Savior. I bet you could hear a pin drop in that place. And this is a massive Colosseum-like area. He says, it's you. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released. You killed the source of life whom God raised from the dead. And not only that, but he says, we're witnesses of this. We were there when you did it. We were there when you were chanting, crucify, crucify. We were there. We saw it play out. You rejected him. You rejected him. And you see, this is the story that we all have. At one point in our life, we too rejected this Savior. We too said, no, God, I don't need your help. I can do it all on my own. No, Jesus, I don't want any part of that. I can do it all by myself. No, church, I don't need your help. No, God, I don't need your help. No, Jesus, I don't need your help. No, Christian, I don't need your help. I've gotten it. I'm square. I'm good. We're not good. We weren't good. We aren't good. The only thing that makes us good is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. And they rejected him. They said, want nothing to do with him. But they continue to glorify Jesus in verse 16. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. And then he says in verses 17 through 19, and this is important, how do you right then this wrong? How do these Israelites right the wrong? How do they say, I didn't know what I was doing? How do they say, I need to get right with Christ? Well, they tell him, it says, and now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance. By the way, rejection of Christ in ignorance is still leading to death. Following your parents because they told you that this is the way it should be, and you don't have a relationship with Christ, it will still lead you to death. You get behind, you sit in a pew of the wrong church, and a pastor preaches that there's another way to heaven than Jesus Christ, that ignorance will still get you to hell. To understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and is the only way to heaven, the only propitiation for my sin and yours, is what he did on that cross. To understand that is to have eternal life. To know who Jesus Christ is and was and what he's done for you is important. And what he says here is, though you acted out of ignorance, the way your leaders did, God fulfilled what he had predicted through the prophets. He says, therefore, in verse 19, here's the way. Here's what it is. He says, repent, turn back. You repent and you turn away from your wicked ways. You turn back to Christ. You turn to Christ and say, Lord, yeah, I denied you. Yes, Lord, I've rejected you. Yes, Lord, I know that I was there and I was making those bad decisions, God, and I was sinning against a holy God. Lord, won't you forgive me? Lord, I believe that you're the Son of God. That you're the Son of God. Lord, I know that your blood is what's going to wash me as white as snow. That's the only way to heaven, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so they rejected Jesus at his crucifixion. They rejected Jesus at his crucifixion. Then they saw this man, this miracle happen. And Peter and John are proclaiming that it's because of this Christ who made this man healed, perfect health, and walk in front of all of you. And he tells them the way that Christ can do that for them as well. In verses 21 through 26, he's explaining the Old Testament. He says that Moses, the prophets, all of the Old Testament was pointing to this Christ. He was talking to them in ways that they could understand that it was Moses and all of the prophets, Samuel and all of them after, were pointing, directing Israel to this Savior, though they had rejected him. And God raised up his servant, verse 26, which was Jesus Christ, sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. See, it took this miracle happening. There was a ton of miracles that happened, but they wouldn't believe it. They didn't care about it. If you've been to this church longer than a month, you know that there's miracles that happen all the time. God's answering prayers every single day. Yet we overlook it and say, well, there's no way. Oh, that check that rolled in for the ministries? That wasn't God. That was some businessman writing check. No, it wasn't. That was God, because we prayed to God and he delivered. Say, oh, well, this person coming to Christ, no, they just found religion. That's not really what it was. They just changed their mind. No, That's the Holy Spirit working in them, convicting them of their sin and them turning to Christ. You can't convince me otherwise. In all of the other things that have happened in this church, we ought to know best that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We ought to know that He answers prayers. We ought to know that He's our comforter. He's our peace. We ought to know He's the only one that can pull us, take us from certain death and give us eternal life. And these people, fellow Israelites, as Peter calls them, a switch flipped. They went from rejection, 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 rejection. Then they see this testimony, this man's story, this testimony to there might be something to this, to salvation. Look with me in chapter 4. And this is where I want to spend just a little bit of time. So while they were speaking, they were still speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them. You see, when you preach the word of God, when you preach Christ, expect these things to happen. Expect opposition. Expect people to step back and challenge you. Just expect it. It's going to happen. Be equipped for it. Be ready for it. But expect it to happen. And the reason that they confronted them says in verse 2, because they were annoyed that they were preaching or teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They were sharing with people this person who you rejected and killed, the source of life, he's been raised from the dead. And he is a risen Savior. And these Pharisees and Sadducees and temple priests said, no, we don't believe. There's no room for that here. We don't believe in the raising of the dead. We don't believe in any of that. And they confronted him. And they said, no. You're done. You're not allowed to speak that anymore. You're done. In verse 3 it says, they seized them and took them into custody until the next day when it was already evening. You see, the reality of sharing the gospel, Jesus says best in John chapter 15, verse 20. He says, if they persecute me, know that they'll persecute you. He says they were arrested for Christ, and he is worthy of sharing to everybody. See, the reality is it shouldn't matter what opposition that you and I face when it comes to a holy God. And what separates us from eternal life, we ought to be telling everybody. Just as this man in verse 8 was leaping and jumping with joy, he was so excited about what God did for him. So excited about that God had restored him. And this testimony that he had of this is what Christ had done for me. I think we've forgotten what all that God's done for us. I think we've forgotten, or we've gotten scared of what the world's going to say to us or how the world's going to react when it comes to the sharing of the gospel. Does it matter? Should we care? No. We should do it. We should share Christ. Hey, let me tell you about what Jesus has done in my life. Let me tell you about the story that I had, and then I met Christ, and who He turned me into, who He made me. Hey, let me tell you about this time when I was struggling and how God helped me out of this struggle. Let me tell you about the time where I didn't know what I was going to do, but God did. And He used me, and He worked with me, and He walked with me. Let me tell you about this time. Let me tell you about this time. Let me tell you about this time. Let me tell you about this story when God did this. Because just as that is a reality of sharing the gospel, y'all ready for this? Just as that is a reality of sharing the gospel, the persecution, the pain, the agony that can come with it, what's verse 4 say? Though they were arrested, it's too late. It was too late. Because many of those who heard the message believed it. And the number of men came to about 5,000. 5,000. 5,000. God worked in two people, Peter and John, to go to this temple. One man's laying at the gate. He tells him to get up in the name of Jesus. Rise. Get up. This man gets up and he's healed. Got all these witnesses, all these people watching, all these people who formerly denied Christ, came to Christ because one man's testimony and two men preaching what Jesus Christ can do. Two men saying, it's nothing I did, it's nothing he did, it's nothing this lame man did, it's all Christ. It's all Christ. That verse 4, that reality should outweigh any fear that any of us have. When we understand that this world is going to push back against us, when we understand that there's places in the world who are getting, people are being persecuted, acid thrown on them, burned alive, heads, beheaded. And we understand that is a reality, but they still do it. Why? Because it's real. It's the truth. It's the love that Christ has for not just me, but everybody in this world. And that's a message. That is a message worth sharing. See, what started off as one man's healing testimony turned to Peter and John preaching Christ, which turned into 5,000 salvations. When you glorify God, Peter could have said, oh yeah, that's pretty cool, right? Look what we did. John, you see this crowd? Wow. Come on, we can probably make some money off this. Yeah, go with it. Just go with it. And say that. He said, you want to know how this man walked? You want to know what healed this man? It was Jesus Christ. It was the power of Jesus Christ. When you glorify God through your testimony and share Christ with those listening, watch out. Persecution is going to come. But oh, how much sweeter is leading somebody to Christ? How much sweeter is hearing or witnessing somebody say, Lord, I need you. God, I want to follow you. Jesus, I can't do this without you. And they come to Christ. You see, we all have a story. Every single one of us. And it's worth hearing. It's worth hearing. And it's worth telling. Especially if Christ intervened in your life. Who knows? You can see 5,000 more people get saved off of one of your testimonies. We just got to be willing to share it. So let's stand. As the music plays,